Welcome to the War Games Orchard, a Warhammer Fantasy podcast. Every 7 years, representatives of the 8 magical colleges in Altdorf meet to decide which one of them will reign as the supreme patriarch for the next 7 years. This is an important decision, because the winds of magic will blow strongly for the college which supplies the supreme patriarch, while the other colleges will find their magic dimmed. Hello and welcome to The Orchard, your place for all the Warhammer talk this side of the World's Edge mountains. I'm Nathan Stone, and with me today is Scott McMillan.
Hello.
And we've got quite a show for you today. We are going to do a Warhammer fantasy draft, something that I've never seen done before, and that is your classic sports draft with Warhammer Fantasy. We're going to take all of the 8th ed army books and we're going to draft a number of units from them, and we're going to see what is the best kind of unit or army roster that we can come up with here. And before we do that, though, we're gonna go through and do our normal kind of intro stuff. So why don't we start with our hobby stuff? And I'm going to be all over the place with this, but Scott, I feel like you might have been a little bit more focused than me. So why don't you kick it off for us?
Focused on a bunch of stuff as well. Yeah, I'm getting excited. My Beastman Army is almost done, so that's good. Have you seen the contrast ones yet?
Yes. So yeah, yep. You posted a really interesting kind of comparison photos the Warhammer Orchard Facebook page. And so one of them was done with contrast in, it was about what, 20 hours, you, I think you said?
For the squad? 20 doors. Yeah, 20 yeah, doors. 20 doors. Okay. An hour per model.
Nice. Yeah. And so then the other one was about 60 hours.
I would say more. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
The contrast I paid more attention to, but I'd probably say more than 60 hours on the on the traditional, base coat, shade, highlight, and layer.
Yeah. Now, when I was looking at them, they both definitely look good. I thought I do still prefer the traditionally painted ones, I think.
Right. Yeah.
However, for the amount of time you saved, those contrast gores look really good.
They pop.
They do. They pop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was the contrast paint used for their skin? Because they have a lovely kind of tanned look about them.
Yes, I love it. It's Gore Grunt of Fur.
Oh, okay. I don't have that color, so I might have to try that on something.
I collected. There might be 2 contrast paints I don't own. I went the distance to. I really didn't like contrast or the idea of contrast. And then I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to start testing. I started with testing on Infinity models. And as soon as I started using them on the old fantasy models, I was almost convinced that contrast was made later than it should have been. I could have painted my armies a lot faster with contrast.
Right.
In the past. Again, it's not for every model. Like, it's great for a Beastman with flesh and fur.
Yeah.
If you're doing Chaos Warriors with lots of armor, luckily the new Chaos Warriors, the newer ones, have a lot of fur and stuff that, like, on their cloaks.
Yeah, I've heard that it really takes to those kind of like the rougher sections
totally
much better than the smoother ones. And I've seen that echoed in a lot of places. I've only really kind of scratched the surface. Like, I have more of like the skin tone ones, like the Gilliman flesh and the,
which is what you want.
Yeah. And what's the Skeleton Horde? I'm actually a big believer in both of those, but I've been using them more as shades.
Always, yeah, and that's the thing. That's what I've been. Yeah. You know, that's what they really are. They're thicker, sometimes not even thicker. depending on the when you buy them, you can see the palette. There's a little palette underneath the paint itself. Mm-hmm. And I wish I knew that in the beginning, because I did some experiments that went wrong because I didn't pay attention to the palette. Some of them come off really, really thin. And there's those palettes that really help. But it's not for every project, but I think you're able to use it in every project. For example, a backpack or a pouch. Right. I don't think I'll ever do a pouch without contrast anymore, because it on anything that's a large army. Infinity's good because I can paint a whole Infinity army in an evening, because there's only 10 models, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I have these the two gore units side by side right now, and I'm like, I really, like, which I think for time sake, for my mental health, as I put it, mm-hmm. I'll probably stick with a faster method, because I have a Dark Elf project I'm working on.
Yeah. Yes. I saw the picture you sent me of the cold one knights looking ones. Real nice.
I'm going to be that idiotic player and play as many cold one knights as I can.
You have my condolences.
I just love the models. It's the newer line, right?
Mm. They're good. They're so good.
Gorgeous. I have 15 of them now, so we'll start there. And I've had all these like crazy, I'm going to put a Battle Standard Bear in a Cold One Chariot, and screw them up for me.
The Mad Lad wants to make as many stupidity tests as he can in a single game.
I forgot. I wanted to share this with you. About stupidity and colon knights. So there's a little trade-off that I thought about. I don't like that they're 30 points. That's my big issue for the stupidity. But think of it this way.
Okay.
So I pass my stupidity check, first of all. I mm-hmm. move up, get into a nice position. My opponent takes an organ gun or something and blasts almost half my unit away. If I wasn't stupid, I'd be taking a panic check anyway under the same leadership.
All right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So immune to psychology. So scenario A is I get blasted. My cavalry rolls leadership under 9, fails. They flee. They rally in subsequent turn and have to, So it's a trade-off in that respect as well. So your stupidity keeps you facing the right direction, but there's a little bit of redeeming quality in my mind. Take it as you will.
That's a valid point, and I'm still not super hot on them, but I get you, because I keep taking them too. In every game that I've played with my Dark Elves, I have taken Cold One Knights because they're such an iconic unit, and they can do work. It's just, I just wish they were a little cheaper. I think I could deal with everything if they were maybe in the mid 20s.
Yeah, I would say 26, somewhere, 27.
I was thinking somewhere around 25, but I would take, I'd even take a little discount on them.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan of changing point values, right? Mm-hmm. So, and the reason is it's written down in the book. We can, sometimes we'll do it, but that's where the rules come in. We should post, you and I were talking a lot about them.
Yeah.
If you give them, because it's a strange cavalry unit where I think it's the only cavalry unit that has the mount is tough 4 and the rider's tough 3.
Most that of them, really bugs me.
Yeah. So remember we talked about either randomizing hits to the rider or the mount for toughness, not toughness tests, but to go to wound, you could either hit the mount or the rider, or we just give them tough 4, or we make them stupid, keep the stupid rule and give them the cold blooded rule because they're cold ones. So they get that 3d6. So I'm going to, we'll post something on the orchard.
Yeah,
we'll do a vote or something.
I guess even from a fluff perspective, to answer your question before I go off on this rant, because I'm about to do that. I am a big fan of making them tough 4 just
base. Straight up.
I think that solves definitely some of their problems. I think it makes them a little bit better. give them a little bit more survivability. Because honestly, as a heavy cavalry unit, mm-hmm. they are fairly squishy.
Super squishy, yeah.
As they are, presented. Now, my thing with stupidity is this. So horses are not smart animals. And this is, you can talk to people who have horses and who work with horses. They're big head, small brain. They're really
simple.
They're very simple creatures. Yeah. A lot of times the reason horses have blinders is because it just keeps them calm in any situations. Yeah. They don't know what's going on. And just the idea that these predators, these giant velociraptors are somehow such a step below a regular horse, of which there are an abundance in Warhammer Fantasy, that they need to just check to see if they just hang around when on the battlefield, there's all sorts of like prey and things that, they would legitimately be more comfortable on a battlefield than a horse would by a magnitude of 1,000.
I
have to stop because we have a limited amount of time today, but honestly, I could do an entire episode on how dumb horses are and why cold ones should be smarter than them.
They should have, and here's something interesting, in the Storm of Magic and other, even in the game, I think, even in Total War, they're not stupid. They might be stupid, but they're also frenzied. Mm-hmm. Or they take, frenzy makes more sense to what you just explained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm okay with giving them some kind of rule that alters them and makes them less reliable, because I think that's what Games Workshop wanted, is they hit a lot harder than horses, but these are kind of wild animals. I just don't think stupidity was the best choice.
My vote is one of two things, and maybe do the 3d6 thing, leadership test, or tough 4.
Yeah. And I'd be comfortable with either of those, honestly.
Yeah.
My bias is towards the tough 4. Yeah. But also like where I am a dark elf player and I love dark elves, I think there's a little bit of just me wanting them to be better in that too. So,
well, everyone knows every tournament player. I don't think I've ever seen a tournament player use Cold One Knights.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so, not that, like I said, it's not just about tournaments, but I always compare it in tournament play, because you want, it's about effectiveness, right? And reliability is the best word, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. So you've been working on your beastmen, working on your dark elves. Anything else on the
high elves too?
Oh, did you do some high elf stuff?
Yeah, nice. I've been working on Seaguard and looking at that griffin. Let's go back to contrast for about 2 seconds
here.
Contrast is easier on my head because I can look at a model and I can see details that I don't have to spend so much time on. And it really does help helps me relax and focus on the meat of the project. I get distracted by details on models a lot because I love details on models. And I'm like, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do this? Contrast takes a lot of those steps away, so I don't have to worry about it, because it does a good job and it looks fine.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So yeah, dark elves, high elves, beastmen. I had some dwarfs on the table just fixing up. Is there any elixir of immortality yet? Because I'm going to need it to finish all my army.
There is no finishing, really. Not really.
Yeah.
Cool,
and yourself?
Cool. So I've been in a weird spot, I think, the last few weeks. I think it's just the length of this whole, quarantine business.
Oh, yeah.
That's, it's really kind of started to get to me as far as, motivation to do things. I've been a little bit better this last week, though. So things that I've kind of been working on, I've done some more painting on Demons of Slaanesh. I'm almost to the point where I actually have to build stuff to have stuff to do for them.
Ooh, nice.
But I kind of lost my mojo on them for a little bit. Demons are a weird one for me, because The way I like to paint, which is bright and colorful and, like, you know, ostentatious, is, you know, that fits demons to a T, because you can just go mad with them, right? Like, they don't have to have any particular color. Like, they're creatures from another dimension. Sweet. But I always find that for some reason, I struggle to keep going with demons after, you know, like a short period of time. I just can't crank them out to the same degree I can, you know, the other stuff that I work on, like my, you know, my orcs and goblins, my dark elves, that kind of thing.
Do you think it's because they're maybe less of an organic? Less organic, so you can't relate to it as much. So it's not as fun.
You know what? It could be something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that. So I recently started just doing some test models for the vampire counts.
That has been
fun. I learned that bone is a weird one for me, because I. And it's weird, because it's not hard to paint. Arguably, it's probably one of the easiest things, because, I mean, like, I have Wraith Bone and I have Skeleton Horde, and I could just... And, I mean, I started off just doing that, but it doesn't pop enough. I kind of, again, like, I need the brightness. So I've been experimenting with, like, different dry brushing. So, like, you know, dry brushing Screaming Skull or Ushabdi Bone or, you know, some of the whites. Or the grays, that kind of thing, just to try and get, because I'm always trying to get kind of the brightness of, you know, the fifth edition stuff, right? I'm not.
Gotcha.
My stuff is never gonna be grim and gritty, because it's just not the aesthetic that I'm attracted to. So yeah, so I've been trying that, and I think I've gotten a good kind of recipe almost at this point. I might have to refine it a bit, because after, you know, it's fine for doing one model, but I don't know if I'm going to love it, you know, doing 10 or 40 or whatever.
Send me some pics, because I have a lot of experience with multiple, like, I do tons of different bone.
Cool.
Because I was like you, it's like, do I want these to be more yellowy, white?
Because you can really, like, you can make them, you can make them ancient bone, or like, or you can have it the gleaming white. I lean more towards kind of the gleam. You know, I don't want to spend a ton of time on each bone section, just because there's a lot.
I will tell you a quick thing. Mm. It's all for bone. If you want to make anything brighter, it's always about what's behind it. So bone is like, if you're only using, say, what is that, Skeleton Horde or as your shade or whatever?
Yeah. So Skeleton Horde is what I've been using. It's a little bit lighter than Gilliman Flesh, honestly. Like it's a pretty brownish kind of.
So you want to go darker, or for my technique lately is because of Wraithbone is such a great.
Wraithbone is a really nice base.
Why it's a good base is because it's such an off white that when you add normal white to it, it just instantly glows.
Mm.
So you can try that, or.
Yeah, I have been using Wraithbone as the base, nice. But maybe going darker with the undertones.
So you maybe can going even go as far as Nuln Oil to try.
Yeah, actually, I was just thinking that might be what I do, because I mean, who doesn't use Nuln Oil all the time? Yeah. But I think you might be onto something there.
Yeah, it's just the backdrop. Oh my God! So I bought I went to get a while ago there Nuln Oil.
Mm.
And I got it home and I didn't open it, thankfully. And it says Nuln Oil Gloss, and I never heard of it. I was like, I didn't know they made gloss shades.
Yeah.
No clue. And, you know, I instantly didn't want it, but I can see, like, maybe something like that would work for your project.
You know what? And
shiny bone, right?
I have Nuln Oil Gloss.
Oh, okay.
And I've used it. It's not like. I wouldn't call it like a high gloss. It's more of like a medium gloss. It's not, you know, it's not going to just, you know, it's not going to make your, it's not going to give you like a super bright, like almost varnished finish or anything, but it does pop a little bit more. And maybe I'll try that, because I have like half a bottle of that somewhere. Cause I also bought it by accident one time. And so I started using it just to see how it went. And it's interesting, because I don't, you know, for all of the things that I've painted in my career, other than the odd like skull on a chain or a belt or whatever on a banner, you know, I really don't have much experience painting
right
undead stuff. So it's a very new and interesting kind of place for me. So
what kind of necromancer are you?
I was not one. I only dabble. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, do you want your mass horde to be like shiny and gleamy, yeah. which is completely like amazing as well as, you know, tattered and dirty. You know,
yeah. So yeah. I'm probably going to try and go for that gleam eventually. Now this army, I haven't decided if it's going to be mainly, I mean, it's probably going to end up being, because most of our games will end up being like Orchard Editions. So because right now I've got enough to make like a decent little like fifth ed army, but nothing more than that. Because, you know, in fifth ed, I can just spend all of my points on Melchior and then just have a few things to back him up.
You can play... When we do our remote game, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but yeah, I've had three remote games. I host them. Working so far, everyone's had a great time. I've got my butt kicked three times in a row, but I'm still having fun pushing models around. But yeah, you can build whatever you want with my collection. So
yeah, I'm gonna have some fun with that. I got to go through the Vampire Counts book. It's only been Vampire Counts since like 1999. You got to go through that and pick out some stuff I
want
to try.
Actually, if you want, yeah, we could try fifth edition. That'd be hilarious.
Oh my god, yeah. Once restrictions lift a little bit more, I think we need to get together and do some fifth ed, because I've got it on the brain as well. And
for sure.
Yeah, ever since like getting Melchior and his bros, I just really want to play
it. Such a good score, eh? That was amazing.
It was, yeah, dumbest luck I've ever had. Well, maybe not the dumbest. I've had some pretty dumb luck in my lifetime. So I got to say, it does seem to be a bit of, it seems to be most of my luck is dumb luck. So I'm not going to knock it though, because I'd rather be lucky than good. Or is that the saying? I don't know.
I actually don't know. I have all these weird sayings myself. But yeah.
Your remote games. Do you want to just quickly run through each of the games and you know what you guys played and how it turned out?
So really fun. So my first game doing remote play was also our friend Emery's first game of Warhammer in his life. So it was over my video camera setup. The first setup was okay. There was a little part of the table that was cut off, but it was easy. I can move the camera closer in and zoom out and whatever. So that was fine. But yeah, his first game versus my High Elves, it was a solid victory for him. He studied his Tomb Kings quite well. I got bogged down by that, slammed in pretty hard by the chariots early, and that kind of paved the way of the game. Once the chariots got in and did damage, they were able to get behind me. And by that time I was in combat with the skeletons and tomb guard. I can't break them. Mm. His opening turn was really nasty. Chariot just was able to charge my, wasn't my Griffin. Oh, it was my Aerion Reavers that I vanguarded up. And then he overran 3d6 and rolled a 16.
Ooh.
And slammed into my lord on turn one.
Oh no.
So
what lord were you running?
It was the lord on Griffin.
Oh, the lord on Griffin. Oh, okay. Yeah. Ooh.
So yeah, that was fine. Fun game.
2000 points?
That was 2000, yeah. And then we had a rematch. I was so ready for this rematch. Super excited. I was like, okay. 2000 points again. I tweaked my list up. One tweak I learned quickly is to give a unit the Wailing Banner, because we're playing sixth edition outnumber fear causing. So that Wailing Banner makes me immune to auto broke on fear. It's huge.
That is big.
Yeah. So I was like, I saw that and I'm like, oh, I need that. I have to have that. And then I proceeded to get massacred.
Oh no.
Not solid victory, massacred. This was my, the redeeming game. I was confident I was going to make less mistakes, and I made a huge mistake and misjudged my Griffin on Lord misjudged a move, and I got charged by his four chariots the next turn, and that was it for my general.
Mm.
So I thought I was 19 or more inches away when I was actually 17 inches away.
Ah.
It was on an angle. He risked the charge and got it. He gave his chariot unit the banner of swiftness. I think it's or whatever the one gives you plus one movement.
Plus one movement. Yeah, that'd be the banner of swiftness. Yeah.
So all of a sudden, they're charging me at 18. So yeah, that I was kind of like, why did I do that? I promised myself I wouldn't do that. but yeah, and then just a blood fest. Although the Phoenix Guard did so well for me that game, they held for three whole combat rounds against Tomb Guard and a flank of chariots.
Wow, that's so impressive. Yeah,
I was rolling well for them. Plus, I had I had the 3+ ward going for them because I was using the high magic.
Of course,
yeah. So I underestimated high magic. I'm not going to do that again. It's quite good. Yeah.
Nice.
So that was great. We're going to have another game soonish, probably next week or the next 2 weeks. He's really liking the game. Yeah. So I was saying earlier, first war time playing Warhammer is actually our mashup edition. So thank you, Emery, for being patient and going through two rule books. What a trooper, eh? Like,
yeah, no kidding.
Going through.
And then having his first game remotely, like that adds a whole other layer onto that as well, right?
Yeah. And third game was against Patrick, who I never met in person, but we had a great time with, he used Chaos. So I had some Chaos Warriors. I gave him what models I had. He made a list. 1,500 points of Chaos with the Mark of Nurgle, 2 units of Knights, 2 units of 15 Warriors, 2 Chariots, a Wizard, c'est la vie. Then I made a Dwarf list. I was super confident, maybe a bit hubristic. No, I wasn't that. I was just like, I was really confident in my Battle Standard Bear on Oathstone, in my favorite unit of Ironbreakers. I like to set a trap where I look like, you know, there's a nice open flank you can charge, and then you hit home into the flank, and the Ironbreakers of Oathstone don't care because they can parry from the side and rear. They don't get disrupted. But he was able to snipe my BSV out with the Lore of Death spell, Caress of Lanif. Oh, baby. That was, Patrick was, he did his attack rolls. And funny enough, I gave my BSV regeneration. So it was a dwarf ruin. I did 3 runes of iron, I think. And the final rune gives you regeneration 5 up. So because we're playing 6 in that regards of regeneration, the magic phase ended. And it's like, cool, I'll regenerate now. And I rolled 1 regen, which wasn't enough. I gave my Battle Standard Bearer an extra wound. So he had 3 wounds for times like this. Patrick ended up doing exactly 3 wounds after my regeneration. So that cut my game in half. So yeah, he proceeded to just flank me and crush me. So yeah, fun game though. We went over some of the Orchard rules together, and that was his first mashup game. Good player to have on our side because he has oodles of experience from, I think he's also raked from 5th, started in 5th.
Nice.
So yeah, we have a lot of the people akin to that edition and beyond. But yeah, I'm having a blast with it. It takes a little bit to set up, I'm not going to lie. It's a bit of work, but it's not too bad. I'm getting used to setting up the camera. I tried to do an over-the-top view, but it doesn't reach the whole table. So I'm trying to figure stuff out. I wish I was a tech guy. I could maybe figure out how to turn my camcorder into a, you know, live camera. It's probably easy to do, and I don't know how to do it. I'll check that out. That way I can move it around as we play.
Mm. That would be really cool. Yeah.
It'd be awesome. Yeah. I want to get, like, for me, it's even like in playing one-on-one face-to-face, I like the experience of the game. So I like having terrain and, you know, visuals and stuff. So I'm, you know, but it does, rolling those dice help a lot, I tell you. Yeah. So yeah, nice. Good times. I hope, awesome. I can't wait to play with you.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to have to do that. And my personal hope is that, you know, we get restrictions lifted you know, soon enough that we can start doing some in-person stuff again in not too long. So fingers crossed.
I know HFX Games is in Dartmouth is a little bit of ways away, but they are looking to get just only tabletop gamers, not Magic, because Magic, you
have to be a little
more cards. You know what I mean?
Okay, like, yeah.
There's a lot more touching involved in Magic, whereas you're on the other side of the table and you have your own minis. There's no reason for me to touch your minis and vice versa. Right.
Yeah. So yeah, you can kind of socially distance a little bit better with,
and you could wear masks and gloves. Like, you know, there's lots of ways. He's not allowing more than four groups and he's got 10 tables. So you can, the distance between each table is like 12 feet or more. So
that sounds pretty good.
So the other thing is playing outdoors.
That'd be an interesting one.
Emery and I used to do it all the time on my deck.
Oh, cool.
When I lived on Jubilee, we were so hardcore into a campaign of Infinity one time that we got sunburned, you know.
Nice.
We had some beers and pizza and we were just out on the deck. Great time sweating because it was that really, really hot summer as well.
Mm.
I think it was two or three summers ago.
Yeah, I remember the one. Yeah.
And just why, like at the time, there's no laughter, but it's when you look back, it's so fun. Like it was just really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, that's how that works.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, it's nice to actually have games to talk about on the podcast. Yeah, the first time that's happened.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully that'll be a continuing trend here because I always like to hear about those.
I also want to apologize for not being able to podcast with you.
Well,
the world's trying to go back to some normality. So I ended up going back to work and, you know, I like my work, but it's hard to get used to.
Yeah. Well, everything. I mean, this has been such a crazy year, right? So,
yeah.
In that regard, I did want to talk about like podcasting schedule. Basically, for anyone listening and wondering, this podcast will come out when we can. You know, I would like to maybe eventually have something a little bit more concrete, but Scott and I are going to try and do it, you know, as much as we can. We were lucky for the first several that we could do it kind of once a week. You know, maybe it'll end up being, you know, once every 2 weeks kind of thing in the future, but it's going to end up depend a lot where I end up because, you know, my life is in a little bit of a flux career wise. Scott's making some changes as well. So if the schedule seems wonky, it's because it is. And we're going to try and do as much as we can. And sometimes that means, you know, maybe we get one out a week. And sometimes that means maybe there's a few weeks in between, but
hopefully luckily maybe two in 1 week.
Yeah. Luckily,
like once in a while.
Yeah. And that would be awesome. Yeah. So luckily, you know, we're talking about Warhammer Fantasy and Warhammer Fantasy, isn't in, you know, it's not a lot of time sensitive information.
That's right.
So we're just having some fun. And so hopefully we'll continue to be able to do that fairly regularly, but I can't, we just can't have a concrete schedule at this point. So it is what it is. And, maybe that'll change in the future. So let's get into our Warhammer Fantasy draft. Cause I know we are up against the clock today and, want to have some time to have some fun with this one. So for those listening at home, we're going to run this like a sports draft. And if you're familiar with that, basically we're going to take turns choosing units from Warhammer Fantasy Army books. And we're going to try and kind of make what we think is like our ideal unit roster, right? So something, you know, terrifying, you know, choosing the best units for each job kind of thing. And I think this will be really interesting because I think we might have tremendous difference on what we think is, you know, an effective unit and how we want to build these out, or we might be very similar and we might be cursing at each other.
So. I'm going to be cursing you out like right now.
Yes. So I'll just go over the rules that we've got here. So we're going to take it in turns, selecting one unit from any category. that we have not previously filled. And so each category, we're going to have a number of units that we can choose, and then it's full up. And the units that we choose must not have been selected previously by any player. So if Scott takes Empire Greatswords as a special choice, I cannot take Empire Greatswords as a special choice. So once they're gone, they're gone. Any unit that is taken by a player is assumed to have access to all abilities, war gear, magic, and magic items that they would have normally. So if I take White Kings, for example, I can assume that they would have access to the Banner of the Barrows. So basically it means that when you're hearing us select a unit, imagine that unit at kind of peak of its powers, of mm-hmm. its effectiveness. So any of its shenanigans, it can do. And four, the next rule is we are not using supplements. So Storm of Magic, Temurkin, etc. So we're just going straight army books for this one. Lastly, so each player must choose their roster to fill the following requirements. So we're going to each choose or draft one special character, ooh, one lord level character, two heroes, three core, two special, two rare, and then as kind of extras, one monster and one war machine. So this doesn't mean that you couldn't choose, you know, more than one war machine. You might take a war machine in your rare or your special as well. But I just thought it'd be fun to have a couple more options from those two categories. And monsters, of course, you can take a monster anywhere you could normally take a monster. Plus, you get this kind of extra one. So, and I think what we're going to do for this is we're just going to take it in turn. So what we'll do is I'm going to keep track of our drafts. And so I'll post the results when I post this episode on awesome. The Warhammer Orchard. And so people can discuss and choose which one of us they think did a better job of drafting. And so we're going to get started here. And since I was the one that made up the draft, Scott, why don't you start us off with the very first pick of the Warhammer Fantasy draft for 2020?
I'm also not opposed to rolling off for it because I have a die in my hand.
Right, do you have a die in your hand? Okay, yeah. I was not prepared for that. So we can roll off for it if you want.
I also have two different color ones if you want me to roll for you.
Oh, yes, that would be lovely. Okay. Yeah, because I don't have anything nearby. So,
blue, green, clear, or purple?
Oh, I'll take the classic blue.
Blue? Okay. All right, so I'll take the purple. And you rolled a 6.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I always lose rolls, yeah.
maybe this is the issue with your remote games, is rolling against yourself as well.
Actually, some of the rolls are pretty wonky, yeah,
for me. All right, so okay, so I can start us off here. All right, so this is actually, I think this is the hardest choice, because the whole thing is open to me, but I promised myself that my first choice was going to be in the core category, because you need a good, solid core to build your army around. And with the first overall pick, I am going to choose Chaos Warriors.
Okay.
Just a absolutely solid unit. You can make it be an anvil. You can make it be a hammer. I think they are one of the best building blocks in the game for core units. All right.
Right on. Well, I will see your warriors with my core choice of Glade Guard.
God damn it. And it has begun. Yeah. Oh, they were the next on my little draft
insane.
Board here.
I'm just going to give them poison arrows or something, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Scott with Glade Guard, a very solid choice. Okay, I feel like this might come down to what we what we steal from each other here. All right.
So we have three cores, is that right?
We have three core, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, great.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you can choose from any of the, like, you don't have to do core first. I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So I might start a little run on core units here just because I'm terrified of them going away, the ones that I want. Because Glade Guard were going to be my second pick.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to go for. Okay. No, it has to be this one. I'm going to go for Clan Rats.
Okay.
And I know, yeah. Like, and my reasoning here is, and I almost
no, I know slaves, the reasoning.
Escape and slaves here.
Because they're that's why.
Exactly. That is, you got it. Yeah, that was very succinct. Yeah. Also, it clan rats, of course, in their last codex, which was the seventh one, but is our eighth one for this, also have access to weapons teams. They're a cheap horde at 4 points per model in, you know, in eighth edition, that's worth a lot. You know, yeah. They can flood the board with cheap, cheerful models. And some of them have flamethrowers. I think they are a fantastic core unit. So they are my second choice.
I'm going to choose zombies.
Okay. Zombies were on my board as well. If clan rats disappeared. So
I love my zombies.
Zombies are great.
3 points.
Lovely tar pit. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. I feel like we have relatively similar methods for choosing these. So this is going to be interesting. All right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave core for now. And I'm going to go for my lord choice.
Ooh.
And this one might be recency bias, but I think it's a very solid pick. I'm going to go for the Vampire Lord.
Don't. That was definitely, yeah. That was definitely a pick.
Close combat monster can be anything you want him to be. Like can be great in the magic phase. I think pointed well. And, you know, there's just many
access
tricks.
Access to a zombie dragon.
yeah, exactly. There's so many wonderful tricks and things you can do with vampires. Oh, so
much.
Yeah. So that is going to be my lord choice.
Right. And also thinking in the Orchard Edition, I'm going to pick a special choice for my next.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to pick Iron Guns.
Actually... Iron Guts are core.
Oh my God, are they?
Yeah.
Well, that's my third core choice then.
Damn it. That was on my board. All right. Iron Guts was going to be my third core.
Special. Okay.
Yeah, no, I love that you brought that up though, because I struggled when I was making this board last night. I was struggling like crazy with the special choices.
Right. Okay.
And but Iron, you got two of my three preferred core choices here.
Well, you didn't take the Vampire Lord, so that was a really well played chess move there.
That's true. Yeah, because I would have been really sad if you had gotten the Lord, to be honest. So, okay, so you finished your core off. You got a really solid core here.
I think I like that. Yeah,
that is a brutally effective core. I'm going to go back to core as well, and I'm going to go in a slightly different direction. I feel like my Chaos Warriors are a really good hammer unit, and maybe not to the extent of Iron Guts, but I'm going to go and pick from the Dark Elf book, Dark Riders.
No. I mean, I can't pick them anyway, but I'm just so obsessed with them, man, right now. I have models of them to put together, and I just love everything about them, the look of them, how they play. Oh, just beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we are both finished our core choices then. Cool. All right,
I'm going to hit up a special choice which I had any in mind. Treekin.
I never considered those. Okay. Give me your Treekin. What's your pitch? Because I just don't know a whole lot about them other than that time that they absolutely wrecked a bunch of my Dark Elves.
Monstrous Infantry in 8th edition tend to follow a very traditional Strength 5, Tough 4. Mm-hmm. Treekin or Strength 4, Tough 5. And I'll take the toughness any day.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Especially when I can cast, what's that? Wissen's Wild Form on them. You know, Strength 5, Tough 6 all of a sudden.
Ooh.
Yeah, I love my Treekin.
Do they have like a regeneration or?
They are flammable, unfortunately, but they're, you know, whatever. 4+ scaly skin.
Four plus scaly skin.
Nice. And six plus ward.
Okay, that is not easy to get through.
Yeah, nice. They're pretty tough. I like them.
All right, so that is good.
You want to take fire against them, and that's when I throw in a character with the Dragonbane gem on them.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting because they were one that wasn't on my board here, so that's really neat. All right. Okay. So we're getting into some of the harder choices here. I'm gonna take from special two because I feel like we might both have them on our boards here, and I don't want to lose them. And that is Mournfang Cavalry.
Oh man, that's one of those drafts where I was gonna pick so you couldn't pick it.
Yeah. Just brutally effective unit. They hit harder than almost anything else I've seen in the game on the charge, and movement 8 gets them places. I think that might be my favorite part of that unit is just how fast it moves. It is just a meat missile moving up the field there. So they are my first special choice here.
All right. What is their leadership? 8?
They're actually, I think they're leadership 7 because that old ogre leadership, not great.
Well, that makes my rare choice easy then.
Okay.
I'll fly up to them.
Oh no.
And Terrorgeist them with the scream.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're taking the Terrorgeist as a rare?
Yeah.
Okay. Terrorgeist, I also had on my board here. Nice. Good choice. Jesse used his Terrorgeist very effectively against, I think, maybe my Mournfang Cavalry, or at least like a bunch of my ogres. So, solid choice there. All right. And, so I'm going to go.
Don't do it.
I'm gonna get out of my head. I'm gonna go. You know what? I don't want to miss out on this one, so I'm gonna actually go for my monster choice.
Okay.
And I'm gonna go with the Hell Pit Abomination.
I hate that thing.
Yeah, me too.
Where's my flaming attacks?
Yeah. Honestly, it's one of those ones that I was looking for monsters last night, and I thought, man, what did I hate? What did I absolutely hate to see it? And in 8th edition, right, you know, monsters had some pretty hard counters, but the Abomination with its regeneration, its ability to get back up after dying, and the fact that it was basically just this missile that you could just aim at whatever and they had no choice but to deal with it, I think is one of the better monsters of the edition. So that is, that's going to be my monster choice.
And we have 2 special, 1 rare. Is that correct?
2 special, 2 rare.
2 rare. Okay.
Yeah.
A monster. Now, is there any stipulations to, because I have a special character, Lord, on my mind.
Okay. No, special character. I mean, it's just as on the tin. So whatever special character you want to take.
All right. So, because I'm playing this campaign and he's been on my mind for the last 3 months.
Yeah.
Malkith.
Oh, yeah. Damn it. You were in my head.
Yeah.
All right.
So he's
off my board. All right. Yeah. He's great.
He's just, and also uber powerful.
Yeah. And the fun thing with him, and he was on my special character board as well, was that you can get him in slightly smaller points games if you're willing to mount him on a cold one or a chariot.
He's still good.
And he's still really good, even without his dragon. But of course, you do have the dragon for when you're playing those big games. Great choice. Great choice for Malkith. All right. So that means I'm going to have my choice of special character, so I don't have to do that just yet. I might take my first hero here.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with the Ogre Bruiser.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the wounds alone.
That's it, right?
And you can make him a BSB if you want.
Four wound character. Yeah. And you make him a BSB. He is a tremendous, just a tremendous character level. And honestly, pointed fairly well, like fairly aggressively even, for what he gives you. So, yeah. All right. So Scott, you have you still have your Lord choice. You've got two hero choices, a special choice, a rare choice, a war machine, and a monster.
I'm going back to, what was I going to do for special again? Oh, yes. No, I'm going to save that. I'm going to save that because I'm confident that you will never pick that in a million years.
Okay. So, okay.
That'll be my last pick. If you pick it, I'm going to throw books at you next time.
All right.
Yeah.
Now I have some time to try and figure out what you want to take.
Right. All right. Funny enough, I'm going to go into a book you might not think, and I'm going to pick an orc war boss for my lord.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I tried as hard as I could to take stuff from the orc book, and I have very little on my on my little sheet here that has anything to do with the Orc and Goblin Codex, Orc and Goblin book. So why the war boss? What and is that specifically the orc war boss as opposed to like the black orc or the savage orc?
I guess it would make sense to take the orc. Is there? Yeah, it's all about the wyvern.
Okay.
So
the wyvern. Okay.
I guess. Do I want to? Just one second here. Hand, sure. Light, weapon, light armor, heavy. Yeah, it makes more sense. I'll take the black orc war boss.
The black orc war boss. Okay,
I didn't think he could also take a wyvern.
Yeah. It's a little surprising, but he's okay. So the black orc war boss.
You're looking at a strength 5, tough 5 character that
always good
is not. I find the vampire lord is awesome on a zombie dragon, but as soon as he starts to crumble, it's over.
Right.
So with the black orc war boss, I can take things. I can build tool him up that he's breaking on, unmodified leadership if I want. And strength 5 with choppas alone. He's already immune to psychology. Armed to the teeth is one of my favorite rules.
It's a great rule.
It existed in 6th all the time, whereas an 8th it didn't. But we're just taking from 8th anyway. Magic items. Yeah, I've had some fun builds with this guy.
Nice. That is. I think you're selling me on him. I think I overlooked him. Also, for a strength 5, tough 5, lord level character, not overly expensive. Definitely
right, exactly.
Run you a lot less points than that vampire's gonna. Right.
Exactly. I'd like to fight. I would like to fight. You know, we can do a pit fight like we do on Friday sometimes.
Mm.
Yeah. But you have, I don't want to reveal all the secrets.
No. That's fine. No, you've said enough. I totally get your pick here. It's good. It's just one that I hadn't thought of. So kudos. All right. So that brings things back over to me. And so I need, I'm so curious as to that special choice that you mentioned there. so now I'm just like, do I take that last special choice? But I feel like I'm not going to think of what you're going
to
think.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah. so I'm going to take my first rare choice. And for this one, we are going to the lush green fields of Bretonnia. And we are going to take the field trebuchet. Nice. And that, I mean, it's a 90 point stone thrower that hits at strength 5 all day every day. I think it's a bargain. I was kind of considering that or the chaos one, the hell cannon, but honestly the trebuchet does most of the things the hell cannon does for a fraction of the points. So
I think it's
the better choice there, and gives me a nice war, or some nice artillery to to start things off here. All right.
Now, I haven't taken from my high elf book yet. Well, I'm going to, just in case, I don't think you'll pick it, but I have to take this hero because, in my opinion, the best hero in Warhammer is a dwarf Thane.
Ah, okay. I thought you might go heavier on the dwarf book because I know you're a fan of dwarves. That's a good idea. I don't know enough of the secrets of like runes and stacking and that kind of thing to effectively judge them. So the dwarf Thane, excellent.
It's all about giving your battle standard bearer and 3 wounds and tough 6.
Whoa, okay, yeah.
The only way you're going to beat him usually is what Patrick did to him with the Caress of Lenin.
Just kind of sniping him.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was just a brilliant play, right?
It was. Yeah. Also, that Oathstone, super cool.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just, I can't find a better hero than this guy. He can go, give me any, take any hero and I'd go toe-to-toe with them for sure.
Nice. So actually, I did have a look through the dwarf book last night.
Nice.
And I think I was just tired because it was getting quite late. And I was just like, wait, all these guys are movement 3. Nah. I think I just closed the book.
that's the subtleness of the power of them, right? Like,
it's so really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so that brings it back over to my side of the field here. All right, I am going to go. I'm going to do the special choice just in case.
Ooh, don't do it.
Because my special choice is from the High Elf book.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's Sword Masters of Hoth.
Okay.
I have kind of always loved these guys. I think they're just brilliant.
They're really good in our edition, the Orchard edition, because of the charge, the strike on the charge.
Yeah.
In 8, they suffered because it was initiative and they have always strike last and always strike first. So it go to their initiative. Whereas you could beat that.
And I mean, this might be indicative of, you know, like the armies that I played during 8th, but I usually found that, you know, they were still striking first unless I was playing like my dark elves or something. Yeah. But for me, it's the 2 attacks, weapon skill 6 on infantry. And I think they're, you know, 13 points per model. I pay that for
weapon skill 6. Yeah. The 13 points I like. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, they've got that little extra bonus, against missile weapons with the deflection. Yep. I think they're a solid special unit. And yeah, with those 2 attacks base, like you're cutting monsters down to size, you know, even if you're wounding on 5s, right. Which you know, even if it's a tough monster, I think just weight of attacks, you're usually bringing that down. I like them in 8th. I still like them now. And I still fear and respect them. So that is going to be rounding out my special choices.
Sweet. So I have a monster, a rare, a special, and a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Yeah, I'm going to save that for later. Oh, I do love that. You know what? I am going to pick that.
Okay.
I've always adored the Dragon Ogre Shaggoth.
Oh, yeah. I actually have that on mine as well. Yeah, I love the Shaggoth. I think he's super cool.
I actually don't know why. I need to get that model. I love that model.
Oh, it's a good, and
it's,
yeah,
it's
good
only model. Available in resin, or you know, if you get it used in pewter, but the resin cast is actually quite good because it's bulky.
Mm. Yeah, well, I have the metal one. Kicking around somewhere.
Nice.
That I need to get him. I've actually got him and 3 of the kind of classic dragon ogres.
Right.
So I should.
I really want to sacrifice. I want to sacrifice my rare or hero choice or both for an extra core choice.
I know some of the core. I found so many things that I was just like, I want this and this, please.
Look at that. Yeah. Cruel Dreadlord. That would be a good... Dreadlord was good because I wanted to give him the Venom Blade, but I went with the Orc. So you, is it your pick? Yeah.
Oh.
Shaggoth, right.
Shaggoth. Yeah. I forgot to write down Shaggoth. All right. He's a rare, right? Or is it special?
I chose him as monster.
Oh, as monster. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Shaggoth. Okay.
Because it is rare, but I'm going to use that. I have another idea.
You got another thing in mind for that? All right.
Yeah.
So cool. So you've got your monster. So I need my war machine, my special character, and another rare. So I'm going to go from rare here. And is that stupid? I feel like it might, like I have a pick here, and part of it is just because part of me doesn't want you to get it, but part of me is just like, you already have something that kind of fills that niche.
I told you, don't do it.
All right.
This is a blast.
Yeah. There's actually two things in my rare that I think you might have chosen. I'm going to go with, What actually rounds out this roster better? Yeah, I'm gonna go with. God, this is too hard. Wood Elf Way Watchers.
Oh man, that's, yeah. No, that you can never say that's a bad pick.
Yeah, they're like, having seen them in action.
You remember game?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. They just like, it was terrifying. It was like watching like a machine gun just mow down my my dark elves. It was insane. Oh,
they're really fun to play on Total War. I love them.
Yeah. So after this is done, I'll tell you what I was agonizing about it in case if you pick it or if you don't pick
it. Or you can tell me now and I'll pick it.
No. Yeah, no, I don't.
Okay. Yeah, man, Waywatchers are one of my favorite units. So we're rounding that off. I don't have anything from the Daemon book. I don't have anything from, oh wow. Yeah. I missed an opportunity on my core twice. Like there's two other core units that I would trade for.
Oh really?
And oh my God, yeah. Are you done of your core choices?
I am done my core choices. Okay. We're both done our core choices, yeah.
So my other core choices would have been the lizard men just the basic guys. What are they?
The Saurus?
The Saurus, yeah.
You know what? I have them on my board here and I thought about them.
Yeah.
And for
the
me,
initiative one hurts,
it's the initiative.
Yeah.
It's the initiative. And they, for me, they kind of did the same job as Chaos Warriors, and I'd rather have the Chaos Warriors, but I do see, I think they're a very solid choice, especially when you consider like Predatory Fighters, Cold-Blooded.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was, in 8th edition, I was looking at that. But my other core choice was the Dark Elf Warriors repeater crossbows. Dark Shards.
Yeah, had them on my board as well.
Yeah, they're just so damn good.
They're so damn good. Yeah, it was going to be them or Dark Riders. And I thought Dark Riders just added a little bit of versatility with the fast cav. Yeah. No, good choices.
Okay. Well, I got to take the Dwarf Organ Gun for my rare choice.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I didn't choose a War Machine yet.
No, you haven't chosen a War Machine. Do you want to put that on your War Machine?
You know what? No, I will I'll take it as my rare.
Take it as a rare? Okay.
Because I can still take another War Machine.
Dwarf Organ Gun.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
Cool.
So, what do I need? I need a hero, and I need a war machine and a special character. All right. So let's do special character since I'm a little bit more up in the air on the other ones from my board here. You know what? I'm gonna go for something a little bit different. So I looked and I love lizard men. And I looked and I really wanted to fill my boots with lizard men. And I just couldn't see it compared to some of the other choices, except in the special character section. And I am going to take the one and only Venerable Lord Croak.
Yeah.
And
you had to do that.
Yeah.
You did that unknowingly. He's been a pain in my side in this campaign I've been doing on Total War.
Oh, is he?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. So Lord Croak, he's a one-trick pony, but it's a hell of a trick. Deliverance of Itza is just an AoE spell that just deals out 2d6 strength 4 hits within 12 yeah. or 18 inches, and more against demons and undead. And what I liked about him, and what kind of gave him the edge over... Oh, my dog is trying to get on my lap here, Griff.
Ah, I have my kitty cats right next to me.
Ah, nice.
Filled out.
So what gave it to him over some of the other special characters? Because I also had like Marathi on here because I really think she's great, and Thankful and Malekith. For Venerable Lord Croak, points wise, you can take him in games fairly easily. Like he's 400 points. He's pretty
that's
easy to
good.
Take in games.
Yep, that's good.
And he's beefy. He is six wounds, three up ward save, and he's minus one to hit. He's just going to be, no matter what you're doing, he's going to be a pain. Like, he's one of those things you just kind of have to deal with. Level 4 caster. He's only got the one spell, but still.
Yeah.
I just think he's great. He can cast his spell as many times as he has dice to do it as well, if you want to be a real jerk.
Yeah.
I just think he is... I think he's one of the more interesting special characters in the game, just mechanics-wise, and I think he's a really solid one. Like, I think you're always going to just be like, yeah, I'd love some more just strength 4 hits against anything that he floats by. Like, that sounds great.
He's annoying.
So that is going to be my special character choice there.
Very solid choice.
Scott, so you have a hero left and a special choice and a war machine.
Yes. So the war machine has to be the dwarf cannon.
Dwarf cannon, all
specifically,
right.
Specifically the dwarf cannon, because I can put runes on it.
Oh, yes. Yes, this is where knowing that book comes in handy, because I had in my special list the Empire Great Cannon.
Right. Which was made by the dwarves.
But I didn't think about runes at all.
Yeah.
And I think that definitely gives an edge over the Great Cannon for sure. I think that's a great choice. All right, so that puts me on. So I've got a hero and a war machine, and I'll do the war machine now.
Cool.
And so for this, we're going back to the tried and true ogre book, and I'm going to go for the Iron Blaster. I've been on the wrong side of this thing way
I've
too many
times.
I've never
seen it work. 8th edition. Yeah.
Basically, it's a great cannon on a chariot, and can move and fire, and that's hateful. Also, if you attack it. You know, it's a Rhinox and an ogre. Like, it's not even something that's easy to kill with, like, you know, just your normal war machine hunters.
Not unlike the corn cannon.
Yeah. And when it inevitably, you know, malfunctions, you can slam it into someone as a chariot, and it's, you know, it's pretty good.
That's sick. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that I've never played it. Or sorry, I've never played it myself, but it's been used against me so much that I know how good it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that is going to be my war machine here. So we are coming down to the end of our draft. So
my hero choice.
Okay, second hero
choice. My most important, this is one of the most important choices of the entire draft for me. Mm-hmm. It is the Dark Elf Sorceress.
Oh, good choice. All right.
And,
Dark Elf Sorceress. She was on my board as well.
Right. The main two big reasons are in 8th, I can choose from any lore.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
right.
I can take from the best item in the game, the Sacrificial Dagger.
Oh, it's so good.
It's crazy.
It's so good. Yeah.
So, yeah. So I have.
I'm mad at myself for not thinking of, you know what? Because I thought of her. But I didn't. I forgot about the dagger, and she would have been higher up on my list if I remembered.
You can take it, and why that's good on a level 2 is just gives you more. You can become as good as a level 4. I mean, a level 4 wizard with the dagger is uber.
Oh,
but
just ridiculous.
At least you can become just as powerful, and it's a 25 point item. So
yeah, yeah. No, I think that's that is a strong pick. That is a very strong pick. Your hero choices,
I think, are
bang on. All right. So this brings me this is my last pick of the draft. So Mr. Irrelevant of the draft, who isn't, I think he's actually really, really good. And so for this one, we're going back to Bretonnia, and I am going to take the Paladin. And there's one reason I'm taking the Bretonnian Paladin, and that is for the Banner of the Lady.
Of course.
So Banner of Lady, Freddie, if you're not familiar with it, it's a 100-point banner, but it makes it so that any unit that you are fighting in close combat cannot claim rank bonuses.
That's gross.
In combat, yeah. It is beautiful.
I'm so happy that book... That book was written in 1874 or something. So,
yeah, I know, right?
You know, that banner still works.
It still works
so well. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. It is good. There was some solid stuff in Bretonnia, honestly. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so Scott, so you're
ready for this?
The draft for your War Machine. Yeah, I am prepared.
No, I got my War Machine. It's the special.
Right.
One I've been hiding.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. I had the dwarf cannon in the wrong section here. All right.
So like in every draft I've ever done, especially in like cards, I play a lot of draft games and cards like Magic the Gathering or whatever. I always pick one thing I just love no matter how bad it is. So I'm taking the Cold One Knights.
Oh, I love it. He's bringing in the hometown favorite.
Yeah.
Cold One Knights. Okay. You're right. There is no way that I was ever going to think of that. All right. Yeah. So
I'm pretty happy. I'm looking at my cat. The thing for me was Magic. Like you have Lord Krogh. That's scary.
Mm.
Right. But I have Malekith and a sorceress. So
yeah.
So I'm happy with that Magic.
Yeah. Yours is definitely the more powerful Magic, just in that it's a little bit more versatile in what you can take.
Right.
Because all of my stuff, so Lord Krogh is one spell. Vampire Lord has some good lores that he can choose from, but he doesn't have all of the lores.
Yes, he does.
Does he?
If you want.
Oh, if you give him the vampiric power. Yeah. Yeah, actually. Yeah. So he's pretty good.
That's pretty cool. You're going to want...
I don't have a hero level sorcerer, though, so that might come back and bite me.
Lord is arguably better. It's just...
True.
It's that miscast that
it's,
really
yeah,
sucks.
Yeah. 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 I think we've got great core units. And it's like you say, though, like the core is so packed with great units
that
you're just like, I don't know...
Like Warriors, I'm scared of probably more than most things. Yeah.
Yeah. Chaos Warriors was one that I wanted as the first pick. And I just think, like, of all, they're one of the most iconic units in the game. And they're just,
they're
always have to worry about them. There's nothing, there's nothing that they can't be tooled to deal with just with their weapon options.
And how arrogant is it to bring a block of 15 when you only get +2 rank bonus? Like,
yeah.
That's mainly it's mainly what I do, right?
Oh yeah. But you know you're just gonna chop the other unit to ribbons. So.
And the armor and they just have so much resilience.
They've got so much going for them. Yeah, I love our core choices. I think they're really good. I love the fact that all of the core choices that you chose, I had as like highlighted as ones that I wanted to choose as well.
I can't believe Iron Guts are core.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, they shouldn't be, but they are. So I'll just do a rundown of our finals
rundown,
here.
Yeah.
So I ended up my draft, my special character is Venerable Lord Krogh. My lord is the Vampire Lord. Hero is the Ogre Bruiser and the Bretonnian Paladin. Core is Chaos Warriors, Clan Rats, and Dark Riders. Special choices, Mournfang Cavalry and Sword Masters of Hoth. Rare choices is the Field Trebuchet and the Way Watchers. War Machine is the Iron Blaster, and my monster is the Hell Pit Abomination. And for Scott, we have special character is Malekith the Witch King. His lord is the Black Orc War Boss. Hero is a dwarf thane and a dark elf sorceress. Core of Gladeguard, zombies, and iron guts. And special of treekin and cult one knights. Rare of a terrorgeist and the dwarf organ gun. War machine is a dwarf cannon. And finally, the monster is a dragon ogre Shaggoth. So, yeah, I feel like you could make some terrifying stuff out of both of these. So I think we did a pretty good job here. Yeah.
I think you're faster than I am.
I think I've got a little bit faster. Although my shooting is interesting because it's artillery and Waywatchers. So it's big damage spikes.
No, you have Dark Riders, man.
Oh, I do have Dark Riders, right?
Riders are
so
probably...
I can put out some hurt with that, yeah.
The idea for Dark Riders is moving, what is it? They'd move 18 inches and shoot multi-shot. It's nasty. You don't hit much, but... No, but if you just have one good salvo, like you get, it's just nasty.
Yeah, no, they have a lot of potential. They were one that was fighting for first position with those Chaos Warriors,
right, for sure.
And the Glade Guard I had higher than the Clan Rats, so that's why I was a little upset when your first choice there. Yeah. So.
Awesome. They were going to be my first pick anyway, Glade Guard. Mm. Yeah, even like I know I had the Warriors there too, but
nice.
I just have a lot of experience with Glade Guard, and if you don't take care of them, they're cause some hurt. And zombies love I'm just going to tarp it. By the way, a tactical play, your vampire lord can take Lord of Vampires and just cast units of skeletons or zombies around the field and cause, speed bumps, so to speak, or what do you call them? Chaff unit.
Yeah.
And if I ignore the chaff unit, then the next turn you make that unit bigger, or even on the next cast. You can. Raising the dead is amazing.
It is quite the it's quite the ability. I realized that the Vampire Lord was one that I thought was going to be high on your list as well. So I had to go for that one early. What was the Black Orc War Boss? Was that the one that you had kind of thought of going in?
It was either the Vampire Lord or the Orc.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. Knowing that the other thing was Vlad von Karstein was my special Lord.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
I just like Vlad a lot in the Karstein ring. Yeah.
Yeah. He's I was gonna say he does a lot. It's the vampires in general just so versatile, right?
They're
great toolkits.
They're toolkits, and the lore, you want them to be in hand-to-hand combat because that's even if it was a one-on-one scenario, the vampire has to get close to its prey. So there's always that point of contact where it's like your instinct as a vampire player or whatever is to get into hand-to-hand combat. Get the hunger.
Exactly. Yeah. I like your choice of artillery as well. I like that you went dwarf both times. That's good. It's more reliable, and you got those runes, right? Yeah,
exactly.
And I just totally overlooked them. So I think you got away with that on the artillery. I like
those choices. I am scared of that chariot ogre thing cannon though.
Yeah the scary. Iron blaster in my experience with it is just a nasty piece of work. One of the things that I forgot that it does quite well as well is maneuver itself into flanks because it's a chariot and its movement is faster than you think, so it can move and pivot in one turn, and then suddenly it's looking horizontally at your army and just ready to absolutely decimate a flank of some poor unit and then charge in too because it's a chariot with an ogre on it, so it's one that I think is well worth its points.
I'm gonna give props to a unit I didn't check.
Oh, okay.
My other monster choice was going to be the Necrosphinx. because of toughness 8.
Killing
blow, right. It flies. It has the construct rule, animated construct rule, causes terror, does all that. It's a really tough piece of gear.
That's a scary looking one.
Honorable mention. That's what I was trying to say.
See, looking at this now, I'm thinking that I've got, I had Graveguard on my board.
Oh God.
And man. I'm wondering Graveguard if they would have been so a better good. Special choice than the Swordmaster. So they do roughly the same job. Sort of. Like they're both like the great weapon carrying. I'm just thinking you'd definitely better synergy with my Vampire Lord. But I don't think I still don't think the Swordmasters were a bad choice. I still
Swordmaster like, good, especially in our edition. Mm-hmm. Great. The only argument, I think the best argument is simply undead. Like you're not going to run away.
Yeah.
You can hold stuff up and killing blow. The scariest thing for a character that's not a monstrous or, you know, anything that a character that can be killing blow, getting caught in a unit like that and having no option but to wait for that killing blow to happen.
Yeah.
Is scary.
That's fair.
You don't want to get, hence the reason to put sometimes your characters on a flying mount work well to avoid that stuff or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Another honorable mention for, because I didn't pick any Tomb Kings, but after watching Emery play the Casket of Souls, I was sold on that thing.
Oh, right.
It's insane.
I've not ever encountered it, so.
That would be my other War Machine, nice. Second pick.
Nice. Yeah. I'll throw out a honorable mention to the other rare choice that I was competing with the Way Watchers, and that is from the Warriors of Chaos book, Skull Crushers.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
The Warriors on so Juggernauts.
Good. They're so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they. I took. Things. It was going to be them or the Mournfang because I figured two monstrous cavalry units was probably gilding the lily a little bit. And the reason I went with the Mournfang is I'm more familiar with them, but also just the extra movement as opposed to the Skull Crushers. But I feel like, yeah, Skull Crushers, just an absolutely brutal, you know, meat grinder of a unit. Anything monstrous cavalry.
A lot.
Yeah.
Like if you had the Mournfangs and the Skull Crushers.
Yeah.
Oh, just for fun, I'm rolling to see who would go first. I got the roll that time, so.
Okay.
I take both my organ gun and cannon and aim it at the Mournfangs.
Good choice. A very good choice.
If I don't kill them, at least try to make them panic, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, I was going to say, it's not that hard to make them panic, honestly. It's just, you know, they're four wound. I think they're four wound.
They are. It's just if they hit.
It's just they hit. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. That was so fun.
That was tons of fun. So we're definitely going to do that again. Probably do like a sixth ed draft, maybe even a fifth ed one.
That'd be super fun.
At some point, I think we'll have to get, maybe if we can finagle it technologically, get a bigger crew, maybe three or four of us.
Yeah.
And do a bigger draft. So we're really sweating those choices.
Yeah.
Cause I was glad to see that we had a lot of the same things on our boards and then it did lead to me having to alter a few of my choices and that kind of thing. So that's what I was hoping for. So we'll definitely do that again. I've actually got some ideas for some other kind of little fun things, segments in games and stuff that we can do as well. So we'll definitely keep doing that.
I think with the way it's going, there's an unlimited capacity to do many podcasts.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think we're going to run out of stuff to do
with your ideas and just the lore in general and
games.
And there's going to be lots. I think we were talking about like before we started this, I wonder if we'll run out of ideas.
I don't think it's possible.
Like for so.
Yeah. So, yeah, and if anyone's kind of listening through the previous episodes or you've been listening since the first episode, you'll realize that like we've already tried a lot of different things here. So the episodes have been fairly different from one another in a lot of ways. And that's on purpose because I'm trying to find kind of what works for us. So, I said it, I think on the first episode, I'll say it again. feedback is fantastic. I'd love to hear, you know, what you think. If you want to see more like kind of fun, silly stuff like this, more lore, more, you know, rules, more diving into, you know, like the old stuff, I love to do that as well. So we're
some kind of structure question.
Yes.
Mark?
Yeah. Some kind of structure. Yeah. Or otherwise, if, you know, I've been having a blast just kind of doing these, trying out different things. So this one is definitely going to stick. We're definitely going to do some more fun games like this, in the future, but, it's all just kind of early days and figuring out, what the podcast is going to look like. And, do you think we're about done, Scott? Is there anything else we should cover? So at 12:12, and I know you're
actually perfect timing.
Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see again, hopefully in a shorter time frame than our last break, but just, you know, happy to hang out and get to talk to Scott again and get to have some fun in the Warhammer world as always. If you liked the podcast, consider subscribing. And if you really liked it, consider leaving us a 5-star review. This lets the algorithm gods know that we are worthy to be shown to others. Bye for now. The competition to determine the dominant college of magic takes the form of a violent contest of magic, in which gladiator wizards and their followers battle to defeat their rivals. In years past, this contest was unregulated and often resulted in the destruction of large parts of Altdorf and widespread carnage amongst the civilian population. Today, the contest is held within strict bounds and has become one of the most exotic spectacles in the imperial calendar.